Welcome and good day, which is exactly what I want to talk about today. When we first came to Australia from California, I was struck by not having to hear, "Have a good day," all the time. But of course, there's a native expression here, which is abbreviated for that, but it's not quite as direct, doesn't sound as phony as "have a good day." I was just thinking that other languages do that too. There's a guten Tag in German or bonjour in French, you know, so obviously a direct translation into Australian is good day. But some of you may be surprised to know that Zen was way ahead of the curve on this. And as far back as the 9th century, we have a koan in the Blue Cliff records of koans, number 6, I think it is, which pioneered the phrase, perhaps. And it reads, it's a very short one, in Yunman or Umman in Japanese, addressed the assembly and said, "I'm not asking you about the days before the 15th of the month, but what about after the 15th? Come on, give me a word about those days." And he himself gave the answer for them. "Every day is a good day." Now, certainly I'm not qualified to expound on the meaning of the koan, but I'm intrigued by the phrase. What could this possibly mean? In fact, it seems to contradict the first noble truth, which tells us exactly the opposite, that life is full of suffering. Interestingly, Norman Fisher, who's no relation, and I think he's now head abbot of the San Francisco Zen Center, points out that there's a similarity actually with the book of Genesis. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw it was very good. So somehow, God being omniscient and would have understood the full catastrophe of what he had created, still pronounces the creation good. And Norman Fisher points out that similarity. Be that as it may, I'd like to take a look at the situation of that koan and try to unpack it a little bit and then speculate a bit on how that might inform our practice. So our society emphasizes the attainment of happiness, or as enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness. So happiness is a pretty big deal in the West, one way or another. And of course, we expect that life would be happy, and we want to get whatever means possible to gain that happiness, whether it's making our teeth whiter, our abs stronger, or getting everything faster and cheaper from Amazon.com, everything to promote our happiness. And consumer capitalism, of course, plays on our longing for material possessions. And increasingly, I think, in playing on our longing for emotional well-being. So there's now, surfing the web, umpteen different courses you can do, or exercises you can do, or meditations you can do, or music you can listen to, which is going to improve your emotional well-being. So there's a real drive to attain something that we like to call happiness, or it's kind of an inalienable right that we have. And then, of course, we're continuously disappointed by our failure to attend it. So our abs may be strong and our teeth white and our Amazon possessions have arrived in the blink of an eye, and somehow that doesn't really promote a great deal of happiness over time. So this is presumably not, when he says "have a good day," the kind of happiness that's meant by Yunman. So what's at stake here, it seems to me, is quite different and stems from the wisdom of the second noble truth, that the cause of suffering is our craving or attachment. So for the consumer, it's an attachment or a craving for more goods. For the spiritual seeker, it may be an attachment to a fixed and independent permanent self that we've got to improve, that we've got to work on. We've got to work on ourselves. You know, this thing needs more molding, more attention. And we generally go through the life, go through our life as the leading actors in our own movie, you know, starring Tom Fisher. Our life is very self-centered, and how I can do this and that, and what's pleasurable and what's painful, and try to increase the pleasurable and avoid the painful. And we may get some temporary satisfaction from a Pyrrhic victory or two. But basically, as Norman Fisher points out, we tend to turn away from the suffering of our conditioned existence and avoid really dealing with the causes of our own unhappiness. We have to smell our own shit, he says, and face the truth about living and dying, being human, what we do to one another. We need to acknowledge all the bad stuff, he says, you know, within us and, I guess, within other people. So really, it's not so much the things that happen to us as our relativistic judgment of what happens to us that takes us away from just this moment and leads to our suffering. If we can stay in the moment, the suffering may not be there. Jeff Dawson, in a short talk on the same koan, cites a terminally ill patient, I think this is from hearsay rather than his own experience, who remarks that every day he's still above ground is a good day. And on a more mundane note, Jeff talks about his experience sailing. So regardless of the weather, every day sailing is a good day. I think he was on his way out to his boat sharing a lift with someone else who wished him, you know, a good day, and he thought about that. So it doesn't matter what the weather's like, what the difficulties are. It's a good day when you're out sailing. Nyogen Roshi, who is abbot of the Hazy Moon Center in Los Angeles and a Dharma successor of Mayazumi, has written very eloquently on this koan. And he seems to equate the koan says, talks about the 15 days prior and the 15 days afterwards. That may have all sorts of symbolic meaning in the sense that's the day of the full moon in the lunar month, so it might have. But even leaving that aside and generalizing, Nyogen Roshi suggests that really the past 15 days are all time up to now. And the next 15 days are our future. And what can we say about that? Provides an opportunity for us to do something different from what we've been doing in the past, the repetitive going around in circles and avoiding what we call bad, seeking what we call good. And he writes, at some point we have to grant that it's a waste of time to dwell in the imagination or discriminating consciousness, pulling things along behind us. I like that idea of pulling things, that we're dragging, you know, all sorts of things with us in this heavy chain. You know, so. This kind of activity is the activity of the deluded mind. I do not ask you about that time, Unman says. So that's the past. Part of the problem, you'll find, is as you dig deeper into this, that you really don't want to give up your painful junk. That certainly has been true for me. We really treasure it because somehow, with the way ego functions, our pain gives us a sense of identity. It gives us a sense of security. Well, if I have this familiar problem to work on, somehow this seems safe. It's not, and you know it's not. But will you give it up? Will you risk being here now? To the degree that I cherish my problem or pain, I'll hold myself away from the now. And he concludes, This day is eternal. It's never repeated, and it's totally new. Think about it. That's your sanctuary. You're always just at the beginning. You don't have to worry about how badly you screwed up a week ago, a day ago, an hour ago, a minute ago. Now you have the opportunity to transform. Every day is a good day, and you are the one with your hands on the controls. You're not a victim. You are the eye of creation. You have total responsibility for how reality forms around you. Okay, well, what might this mean in practice if we want to try it out? I have sort of 2.5 related suggestions about how this might inform practice. So although, first of all, our judgments occur very rapidly and frequently, I mean, all day long we're experiencing good and bad, good and bad, good and bad things. When possible, to slow down that flow and acknowledge the emotion or thought behind it. So just essentially, I guess what we call when we're sitting sometimes, and just labeling. And it can be very simple, good, bad, good, bad. I tripped over the rug this morning, bad. I had a really good cup of coffee though, yeah, good. And that brings us to our consciousness, just like in the reading today, our bodily position maybe we can bring to our consciousness. Then we're living in the now. Now, in addition to that, we might ask ourselves, what is the practice right now? So I'm cut off in traffic. Bad. What's the practice right now? Can I lean on the horn or drive safely, Tom? So labeling it and then asking a question about what to do. Or Norman Fisher suggests something, even another step, which is quite an interesting one, I think, and that's raising the opposite. So I don't know what the opposite of being cut off in traffic is. It's a scenic drive in the countryside. Often, the opposite, much of what we experience, I've been trying to do this in the last week, so I'm very new to these kinds of practices. I find that the good and the bad are often quite related. So the puppy misbehaves. Bad. Huh? Puppy's behaving. Isn't that nice? Good. The same thing may have a good and bad side to it. We got our gas heating ducts cleaned out. I'm not sure if they ever had been before. We moved in the house at 7 years old, and we got a reminder notice saying this hasn't been done since 2015. And the duct guy said, oh, 4 of the ducts hadn't even been connected any. So there was a lot of heat in the roof and not much heat below. Good, he's connected them. One of them's blowing directly on my wife's pillow in bed. The heat is just pouring out now. Is it bad? It's the same thing as a good and bad. Often I find there's a very close relationship between those two things. So it seems to me at a minimum acknowledging, noticing that you have a thought or an emotion that you've labeled that is good or bad, then perhaps taking another step by saying, well, given practice, given this thought or feeling or judgment that I'm making of what happens, what is the practice? Or perhaps, as Norman Fisher suggests, just envisioning the opposite of that. And that goes for good as well as bad, because we think we have the inalienable right to be happy all the time and to have good things happen to us. It's very important to remember that good is exactly as transitory as bad is. And I think we often lose sight of that. We think that, oh, it should always be good. You know, no one should ever cut me off. Driving should just be sailing through. You know, never a red light. Now, I noticed that on the internet, there's, because of the situation we're in now, a number of Zen talks are writings by current teachers have taken a look at the pandemic too. So, you know, what kind of world are we on? So this is, in a sense, a different kind of bad. I'm not sure it's a different kind of bad, but anyway, we see it as a, and it is a much more global thing. It's not necessarily a personal thing. And to the extent that what I've been talking about may be helpful to at least acknowledge the reaction, the thought or emotion that we have, bad, as good or bad, may be helpful. That may not be the end of what you want to do, or if you're concerned about violence or war, that may, that acknowledgement is just the start of taking informed action. If that's something that, that you want to do, it may not cease at that point. So what seems to be suggested in the kind of typical logic or illogic of Zen is that there is an absolute good somehow that transcends the relative distinctions of good and bad as experienced by human beings existing in the realm of dukkha or suffering. So for most of us, this is our past 15 days, and of course many, many more, that relative distinctions of good and bad. Oh, my life has been terrific. My life has been terrible. But we have the opportunity to change our experience of everyday life by transcending those dualistic, judgmental categories in the coming 15 days and the 15 days beyond and the 15 days beyond that. Remember, as we say, the great way is not difficult. Just avoid picking and choosing. Conflicts between liking and disliking are a disease of the mind. Gain and loss, right and wrong, away with them once and for all. And Norman Fisher concludes his talk by saying simply, good and bad are not the same. Good is good and bad is bad. Both are good. Have a good day.